So based on everything we just talked about, God gave me this verse for you today. And I know the magnanimousness, if that's a word, of God, right? The simplicity of his brilliance and greatness is so amazing. Let me hear, make sure you understand what I said. I may be a little poetic in my preaching today. The simplicity of his greatness and his grandeur is amazing to me. I want you to catch that, right? Because it's to us, it's like breathtaking, it's overwhelming. But if we don't complicate it, it's so simple. It's so easy. I was talking to Nelly about just destiny and the things that God calls us to. And I said, he put sunglasses in a bin in the airport for you because you needed them. I mentioned to him, God, she always wanted to get in first class. And then God says, walk up to the desk. And they upgraded both of us to first class. Now, I get that because I got these premium bonus points kind of stuff, but she doesn't have that. That was the God switch, right? And I said, I see what's happening. Because my motivation is God, not what you can you do for me, but what can I do for you? I see things changing in my life that's in a way that I've never seen them before. And this hasn't been super long. This has just been over maybe the past 3 months. God, yeah, thank you for all the great stuff and houses and lands. I'm believing for this and I'm kingdoms of mine and the cattle on a thousand hills. First of all, I don't need no cattle on a thousand hills. I don't own no farm or I don't know what to do with them. So keep the cattle. What did you put me here for? Like, what is my purpose on this planet, and what can I do to get myself to the place to manifest why you put me here? And as I begin to do it, I begin to see grandeur in God that I never saw before. I begin to see his glory in a different kind of a way. And I still think I just barely peeked through the curtain. I don't think I'm getting a full scope, but just in requesting that, I've come under so much emotional and spiritual attack. Another letter comes from Jeff trying to cause havoc and wreak pain in my life. And I'm going, you know, God, what do I do? And he's saying, just trust me. Like, just trust me. Walk with me. I got you. And, you know, sometimes, let's be honest, we don't want to hear that. Okay, you got me someday. I just fix this now. And God says, not my will, but your will. Remember, Jesus prayed that, right? Yeah. You forget that? Yeah. If Jesus can pray that, you can pray that too. Not my will, God, but your will be done. Well, in God's will being done, there was a level because I was going through so much emotional torment for the past couple of days behind this stuff. And when I got back to not my will, your will, a peace came over me. And it wasn't a peace that, it wasn't that I wasn't, didn't feel still some anger, but I felt his peace overwhelming the anger. And I said, okay, where do I need to focus? He said, remember, what's your purpose for me, Lord? That's where you need to focus. What is your purpose for me? Because if I'm in his purpose, I want you to listen to this, wonderful people of God. If I'm in his purpose, say, if I'm in his purpose, all things must align. Think about this. If I'm in his purpose, if I'm pursuing a thing, or a situation or a circumstance that I want better, and I'm praying for God to come in and fix my thing. You're not listening to me, okay? I'm not necessarily in his purpose, and he can respond to me out of his grace, but it's ups and downs. But if I'm in his purpose, I'm doing what he needs to do, all things must align because I'm in his purpose. I hope you're listening to what I'm saying to you right now. It has to align because I'm in his will. So I said, God, I've been spending too much time trying to fix my world and pull you into it and try to get you to sprinkle a blessing on my world. Lindsay and I were talking the other day, and I shared something with her. She said, yeah, because I can see how that could work like this, and I could work like that. And I said, stop, stop, stop. No. I don't care about none of that. Everything she said made a lot of sense. It did. It logically, it made all the sense. She started seeing all the avenues that we could possibly make money with this thing. And I was like, I didn't get any of that. What I got was right there. Walk down that road and do that. And anything else that comes from it has to come from him and me being in his perfect will. It has to come from me saying, God, what do you want me to do with this thing you have given to me? Trust in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit them back to him, and he will bring them to pass. So I had to stop and say, okay, God, forget what I want. Forget what I need. And he said, nope. He said this to me, nope, never. Never forget what you want and need. But the avenue to it is doing my will. Who am I speaking to right now? The avenue to it is doing my will. Never, he said, will I forget your wants and needs. Never do I disregard it, as some church people and pastors say, God, your will ain't important. God said it absolutely is. I care about the very hairs on your head and the tears you cry. But the key to it is not in doing what you do, but doing what I've called you to do. And if we be honest, we spend more time telling God what we believe we want and need than asking God what's his plan for our life. Maybe it's the 65-year-old in me speaking, but I'm starting to realize that my life really don't have a lot of value apart from me being in his perfect will. I realize older people have a tendency to talk like that. They have to come to that sense that, listen, unless the Lord wants it, it doesn't matter. So now I'm turning that page and I'm going, God, not my will, but your will be done. And as I'm saying that, and as I'm speaking that, and as my heart is moving into that direction, you're listening to me today? I'm starting to see a glimpse into the heavenly realm that I have not seen before. I'm starting to sense his presence in a way I haven't seen it before. Now, here's the part about that I don't like. As I'm becoming more spiritually perceptive, the enemy then tries to come in more because I'm still more spiritually perceptive. And he comes in now and he starts trying to throw his dots because I'm entering into a realm that opens my eyes more to the realm of the spirit and what's going on. You need to listen to what I'm saying to you today. And God, and I'm not saying, oh, when you see God, the devil gonna come after you. Screw him. Anybody thinking about him? What I'm saying is, it don't make a difference what he's doing. You keep your focus on the one who called you into the realm, and that one around flying, that fly flying around buzzing in front of your face and getting around you, and you letting it irritate you too, it throws off your whole vision. Just let the fly fly and keep your focus on the king that's calling you. Oh, that's a saying right there. And I said, Lord, I see you and I hear the enemy. And he said, I never said you wouldn't. He said, I said to you, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. He said, I did not say you will not hear. I said you will not follow. I said you will not be deceived by. You will be not pulled off track by if you know my voice. Focus on my voice and ignore his. So I said to God this week, Okay, enough of all of that. Take the pain from me so I can focus. I'll focus. I'll do my job. Who am I speaking to? I focus, God. I'll do my job. But can you take the pain away? If you take the pain away, I can focus better. He says, blessings. And he lifted the pain off my heart. Because it's hard for you to focus on what God has called you to do when all your emotional senses are kicking in so loud and your bank account is screaming at you and your family members are saying crap they ain't got no business saying, and the job is saying this, and the boss is saying it's hard. So I said, God, I'm not even asking you to change the situations. I'm just asking you right now just to take the pain away so that I can keep clear focus on you. I know I'm speaking right today. And God said, sure. And I fell asleep, took a nap on the couch. I woke up and he lifted. It was gone. And he said, now, I'm not saying the enemy won't try again, but I need you to stay focused. Yes, Lord. So if you'll go with me to Psalms 91, I want to talk about the realm of glory that God begins to introduce. I saw you smile, Edward, so I guess you must have been reading that verse or something. I don't know. But God said to me, I need you to focus into the realm of glory and not in the realm of reality or circumstance around you. You're trying to get a breakthrough by fighting through, but your spiritual breakthrough comes from the realm of heaven. And you need to see clearer. So it's going to be two steps to what I said today. One, seek God for what your purpose is. Why are you here? What is it that you've put me here for? That's number one. Number two, what's your plan for me to manifest this? Those are two very key importance. I want you to lock onto those. Psalms 91, verse 1 says, the heavens are telling of the glory of the Lord. This speaks to God leading me here, just spoke to everything I'm starting to see, starting to see. And the expanse of the heaven is declaring his works of his hands. Let me just read that again. The heavens are telling of the glory of the Lord. And the expanse is declaring the works of his hands. Yeah, well, I'm just trying to pay this bill. The heavens, he created the heavens, and you looking at your Citibank account, and he made the heavens that declare his glory. And the expanse, how big it is, proves the works of his hands. Again, I made the point. You put a pair of sunglasses in the doggy bowl in the airport because I said we need some sunglasses. But for me to talk about and be excited about and be emotional about the glasses and the first class and all of this, he's like, yeah. But you're saying, are you listening to me? Listen to me close. You're defining the works of God's hands by the situations and circumstances that you deal with on a daily basis. And oh my God, that's pathetic. And that's what God is showing me. Is this how you're judging the works of my hand? Because you prayed for this and you got it on the earth? No, the works of my hands are declared not by whether your account is full or empty, but by the expanses of the skies and the heavens above are the declaration of how great I am. What do I have in my life? I won't even speak for you. I'll leave you out of this. That looks like that. Zero. And so I'm going, I'm seeing this wrong. I'm looking to the circumstances of the earth to declare your glory or the things you do for me or the blessings that manifest in my life. And I'm not looking to the vast works of your hands. So how did I start this by saying is the glory, the stuff is simplistic in its doing. It's vast and it's majestic, but it's simplistic. Am I losing anybody? This is some stuff that you got to be an adult to get. This is not for baby Christian stuff. A baby Christian could probably get it and take it in and begin to feed on it. But this is meat right here. Day after day pours forth speech, and night after night reveals knowledge. But there is no speech, nor is there spoken word from the stars. Their voice is not heard. Now, I don't know if this is mind-blowing to you, but it is to me, because I'm seeing here. He's saying, look at the sky, the beholder's glory and the expanse of it. And with all the stars in the sky and all the voice that they have, they can't speak, nor can they declare a word. Yet, in that, his glory is beheld. But they can't speak. God said, I'm so dope that what I've done speaks of my glory, and I didn't have to have it say nothing. Just sit right there. And can you do that? Isn't that what he said to Job in the end? Can you do that? Can you create one of these things? Can you add an hour to the day, my brother? Can you do any of this? Come on, stay with me on this. This is food. Yet, verse 4, their voice is quiet evidence, has gone out through the earth, their words to the end of the earth. He just said they had no voice, but yet they have a voice and they have words. In them and in the heavens, he has made a tent for the sun, which is the bridegroom coming to his chamber. Talking about the sun. It rejoices as a strong man to run his course. The sun rises from one end of the heavens and its circuit to the other end of them. There is nothing hidden from its heat. Watch this. The law of the Lord is perfect, flawless, restoring and refreshing the soul. The law of the Lord is perfect, flawless, restoring and refreshing the soul. The law of the Lord is where you find refreshment and restoration to your soul, not the answer of earthly gifts and things. The law of the Lord. Let's keep going. The statutes of the Lord are reliable and trustworthy, making wise the simple. We're looking for him in too many other places. It's right there at his feet. It's in his precepts. It's in his principles. Not my will, Lord, but yours be done. The precepts of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure and enlightening to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, and they are altogether righteous. They are more desirable than gold. Yes, they are much more than fine gold. Sweeter they are than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Let me stop here before I keep reading. The key principle to our success is in fellowship with God. I don't want to keep reading on and lose the point. It's not in getting your prayers answered when you want them answered. That's his responsibility. It's not in what bugs me or don't bug me, what I agree with, I don't agree with. People come up to me in this election cycle and they want to talk about Kamala and they want to talk to me about Trump. And when I respond to them, I always tick off both sides. I said both of them is evil. I don't trust either one of them. I trust God. And I don't care who gets in office. If I follow his precepts and walk with God, I'm gonna be good. I'm not gonna let, yeah, but he's gonna take this and he's gonna, yeah, he may do all of that stuff. And she may do all the stuff she's gonna do. And but she's gonna on the other side, she's gonna be pushing the LBG XYZ. And I'm like, so what you're telling me is no matter which side I get on, I'm screwed. I don't trust any of them. I trust the kingdom, not trust his glory. And let whoever wins win. Doesn't affect me. I'm in a different place. That place is God. What is your will for me? And whoever's in the throne or at the throne or at the helm or controlling the situation, if I'm in touch with you, you tell me exactly how to pray to turn situations the way they need to be turned. I refuse to keep letting this world distract me. My pockets, my family, my so-called friends. I refuse. And it's a choice. I'm gonna go back to my pockets. And you're going, yeah, but you doing okay. Well, you're just saying that because I may have a little more than you, but that don't make me doing okay. Okay for me is following these precepts and principles. And that's the reality I've had to come to. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. God's principles are true. His precepts are better than gold and riches. His judgments are good. And I want to go back to the point of his judgment being good and beautiful, wholesome and wonderful and excellent. And judgment doesn't mean punishment all the time. And usually in the scripture, he's not even talking about that, especially in this place. He's not talking about judgment, meaning penalty. He's talking about, are you listening to me close? A lot of times when God's talking about judgment, he's not talking about your money. He's not talking about your life. He's not talking about punishing you. He's talking about the decisions he makes and the way he makes them are good. They're just. His judgment. Other words, his opinion and his point of view and the way he executes is good. So if I give you know, you want this or you want that, you have to pick one. You have to judge. And this one may be bad for you, this one may be good for you. The scripture's saying his judgments, when he picks, he always picks good. They're always fair. They're always wonderful. They're always powerful. So basically he's saying, let me pick for you because I always pick right. Let me judge for you. Let me be the judge of who you think your husband is and who you think your husband isn't, and the pick will be right. Let me who you should do business with and who you should not do business with. Let my judgment be your leader. Let me be the deciding factor of should I stay or should I go or should I eat this or should I not eat this. Let him be the judge because his judgments are always fair. You follow what I'm saying? We're not talking about the judgment, the punishment for your sin judgment. We're talking about his judgments. His understanding of how it works is always right. Does that speak? I want his judgments. I want his precepts. I want his laws. I want his rules. I want his guidance. I want his instructions. I said, God, man, if I could sit with somebody like a Bill Gates or somebody like this and have them guide me. And he said, why don't you just sit with me? Yeah, I know, but if I had a presence, so you want an earthly king. God, you are the word. It's not like you know the word, you are the word. So you know there's no way I'm winning this conversation, right? So just give your boy what your boy need to get on track. And he came back to one simple explanation. Psalms 91 is just a longer way to say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I have the voice. Look at the works of my hand. Look at how expansive they are. See into my glory. My glory is huger than this little circumstance that you're faced with right now today. And if you do, the more you peer in, the more you align with my principles. God, why have you put me here? What have you called me to do? The easier all the rest of the stuff will be, it will stay. And for the rest of your life, you have a rest that you just don't even anticipate at this point in time of your life. So I've decided to surrender all of my goals and dreams and focus and drive to God. What is your plan for me? Why am I here? What did you put me on this earth to do? And whatever that is, nothing else is more important than that. Amen. Amen. May the word that you heard bring God's blessing to you.